First Samuel 13, 13, 14, and then media, we're going to go over and tie together First Samuel 16, 13 at this, right after that. So 1 Samuel 13, 13 reads as follow: And Samuel said to Saul, meaning the prophet said to the king, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandments of the Lord. Somebody said you were disobedient. Did not keep the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. I like that right there. Very interesting. He says, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. I want you to go over to 1 Samuel 16, 13. These are familiar scriptures we've read over the last few weeks. 16, 13. Then, everybody say then. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, meaning David, in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Father, we thank you for your words this morning. We ask that you continue to strengthen us under the anointing of heaven, God. As we continue to walk with the groundbreaking anointing on us, this ministry and the people, God, in every area of our life, I pray that you give us understanding to maintain the anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. As we're going to get into groundbreaking anointing part four is where we are today. Groundbreaking anointing part four. This is part four, I believe it is today. And we've been in this for 4 weeks now, this being the fourth week. And again, one of the reasons that this series has become such a long, I don't want to say long series because it may even go longer, is because, again, I believe God is very serious what he wants to do in 2020. And not only what he wants to do in 2020, but you got to understand, anytime God wants to do work, it involves his people. Anytime God wants to do something, he can't do it without us. Y'all missed everything right there. Because too many times when we realize, we say God can do whatever he wants, but God can't do what he wants without us. Does not mean he's not all-powerful. It just means the way God works, he has to work through us because we're in the earth. God cannot come into this earth and do anything he wants without the permission of his people. See how quiet it got? Because we in our mind, we have to understand God gave man dominion of the earth. He came in and said, look, this earth is mine, but I'm giving you authority. And when I give you authority, now I have to use you because you have authority in the earth. I gave it to you. It's almost like when you rent or lease a home, the owner can never come in your house without your permission. And God has so much he wants to do in 2020, but he says, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. He says, I've given you dominion over the earth. And he says, that's why when we see things happen, people always say, where was God? And we see tragedy, and people say, where was God? Why did God let that happen? And God is sitting there saying, where were the people? Why weren't you praying? Because if you were praying, then I could have entered into the situation. Okay, see, this is, you know, people always say, where is God? Why would a God so good let that happen to people like that? Well, was anybody praying? We always ask, didn't God know? Yeah, he knew it was going to happen. But God says, listen, if my people will call by my name, if you read that scripture, he says, listen, I knew there were some things going on in the earth. He says, but I needed somebody to pray so I can do something about it. And so it's not that God does not know. He just cannot intervene until somebody allows him to intervene. And the way we allow him to intervene is to have a prayer life and talk to God. That's why if you're a child of God, you better pray every day. Come on, somebody. I'm not talking about lay me down to sleep. I pray my soul to keep. You better declare stuff over your house, your family, because God does know what the enemy's trying to do. And that's why he's always working and moving and trying to talk to you and speak to you. But come on, we get so busy, we don't even hear God sometimes. And God is sitting there like, listen, I know what's about to happen, but you ain't prayed in 3 weeks and I can't do nothing about it. But the moment you start saying God, somebody say every day. And listen, that's why every day you need to pray when you get up and when you shut it down. You need to begin to declare to God, God, before I get out this bed, I want to pray right now. God, I need angels to go before me this morning. I need the blood of Jesus over my children's school. God, I need angels in the hallways of my children at their left, their right, their front, their back. I don't know what's going on, but I know you do, and I'm giving you permission to do whatever you got to do to make sure they get back to this house tonight. I need you to make sure, God. And what we do is we've got to let God into our life. And God says, I can't break into your life without your permission. And in this groundbreaking 2020 year, there's so much God wants to do, but he can't do it unless we work with God. Tell somebody on the road, you got to work with him. And so what God has given us in this year, he's given us this anointing to be amazing. He says not only, excuse me, and this is our fourth week, I'm not going to, you know, rehearse it too much, but we've been talking about groundbreaking, what God wants to do. And really, church, one of the main reasons I think God is entering us into this groundbreaking year is because, and this is just me, and I know people have been saying it, you know, since we've been young and in church, they've been saying, God's coming back anytime. They've been telling me that since I was in diapers. Come on, somebody. I was looking out the window one day. The preacher was saying it so much, I was went home like, here he come, you know. And people have given dates, but let me tell you something. I really sense Jesus, that God is not too far from wrapping this thing up. I really sense that in my spirit. And the thing is, God is saying, listen, before I come back and get my people, there's a lot I want to accomplish. There's a lot that I need to happen. There's a lot of people I need to get saved. There's a lot of families I need to be restored. There's a lot he wants to do before he comes back. And I believe that's why God has given us this groundbreaking year. Because remember, groundbreaking is doing what's never been done before, experiencing what's never been experienced before, seeing what's never been seen before. And God said, there's so much, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has for your life. And so this year is so significant that God has given us a groundbreaking year. Everybody say groundbreaking. And we've been here for 4 weeks. Get the CDs if you want to understand more. But here's where we are now. We're talking about not only is he sending us out in the groundbreaking year, but he's put something on our life to be successful in this year. He's given us this thing that's called the anointing. It's a groundbreaking anointing. And we've learned what the anointing is. It gives you, I like it like this. It gives you the ability to get stuff done. To simplify it, I think this is even what I put in my notes when I was sitting there. The anointing just literally gives you the ability to get stuff done. Meaning God has called every person in here to do something great for him and through your life. Every person in here is going to be great. I don't care what you think right now. If you stick with God, God's going to flip the script and you're going to do something great. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care if you just got out of jail last month. I don't care if you got a criminal record. I don't care if you got a GED or a PhD. Come on. God is going to use you to do something significant with your life if you hang in there with God. You say, well, Pastor, I'm addicted to meth. I don't care if you're addicted. God has never given you something to say that you have to do this to be that, except believe in him, trust in him. I believe every drug addict has a purpose. Every alcoholic has a purpose. I believe every convict has a purpose. And I believe God wants to use every person if they will work with God. Somebody say, work with him, work with him, work with him. And so God has given us all this thing called the anointing to get done what he wants to do through our lives. He's given every person in here a gift. Everybody has a gift. And we've talked about that over the weeks. Over the last few weeks, every person here has a gift. And that gift allows you to do certain works. And God says, listen, I'm not only giving you a gift, but I'm giving you the anointing that's going to help you get the work done that's connected to your gift. And we begin to learn what the anointing is. Every person is anointed, not just your pastor, not just your favorite preacher on TV or you grew up hearing about. Every person that is a child of God is anointed. Everybody say, I'm anointed. And we worked that for a few weeks. Every person is anointed. And it was amazing to me how the Holy Spirit kept pulling me and say, they got to know they're anointed. And he began to share, so many people don't believe that they're anointed. They believe somebody with a mic under lights is the only person anointed. And this is why, that's why I always wonder, why do we struggle with self-esteem? If you really knew what this Bible began to say who you were, you would look in the mirror every morning. Come on, somebody, talking to yourself, singing to yourself. Not in an arrogant way, but man, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a bad mamma jamma. Why are you down in the dumps? You can get yourself out of depression just by reminding yourself that God has put all these things in your life. Come on, you got to look at them Prozac pills and be like, listen, you ain't got nothing on me. Come on, I can make it without you because I know who I am in God. If you really, I really wonder if people knew who they were. If you knew, the Bible says, if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. The Bible says when you have the, come on, if you just understood who you were, half the battle of depression would just break off your life with just revelation that I am a king's kid. I am a child of God. When I walk in a place, everything should shift. There's favor on my life. I am anointed to walk in and destroy yokes and giants. And if we can get a revelation, look at your neighbor and say, you don't know who you are. That's why we always look where we came from. We look where mom and them, where I grew up. I was in the hood. I didn't have no money. I don't steal. Man, God didn't ask you all that stuff. Because if you get the knowledge of who you are, it's going to take you where God wants you to go. You don't have to stay where you are. Realize who you are and realize if I'm who I am, I can't stay where I'm at. God, help me. I'm nowhere in my notes. That's why the Bible says, Hosea 4:6, God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of. We got a few Bible readers, meaning you don't have knowledge of who you are. I promise to heaven, if somebody can get the revelation of who you are, you could have been molested, raped, abused. You could have been an accident that came through rape. But when you get here, you say, God, I know who I am now. Devil, you are not holding me in depression. You're not holding me back. I know I failed years ago, but I am a child of the Most High. My daddy's in heaven. The earth is his and the fullness thereof. And he's given me authority in this earth. God, help me. I'm pushing. Let me get where I need to go. Y'all meddling. Watch this right here. And so God says, listen, I've given you this thing called the anointing, which we all have. And in 1 John, I think I gave you guys 1 John. I'll put it up there one more time. I think I gave it to you. 1 John 2:20. If you could throw that up there. Again, he says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. Okay, one more time. Everyone say, I'm anointed. Every person, I don't care who you are, you have specific anointings tailor-made to your life. We went through this. The anointing destroys yokes. It breaks everything the enemy could do to your life. Give me my points from week one real quick, week one and two. Let me just, these are the things we learned about the anointing. We'll look at them real quick. One, and give me those, okay? We talked about the anointing. This was in part two. No man can create the anointing. Simply means whenever... The anointing on your life, don't go to your pastor to get an anointing. And your prayer partner. Nobody can give you the anointing. We saw in Scripture, it only comes from the Holy Spirit. No man can give you an anointing. They may be able to identify your anointing, but they can never give you an anointing. So don't ever pay somebody on Christian TV. Come on, somebody. Sending them a check for some water and stuff like that. And you know what I mean? I'm not saying you do what you want to do. But you don't need to do all that stuff when you realize who you are. I'm not saying that stuff does not work for some people. If they put their faith in it, it may be able to do something. But what I'm telling you is you don't need to put your faith in somebody selling you water on TV. You got to understand everything that you get comes from God. That's you got to come back when we start Wednesday nights. And then we also learned that the anointing is specific to every person. Every person, we have generic, I don't say generic, but meaning general anointings that comes to a believer. And then there are specific anointings that your neighbor does not have that you have. Meaning it's tailor-made for you. I don't care who you are, there's something special that God has put on your life that nobody in this sanctuary has. And we learned that when it's specific to a person, you do not ever try to walk in somebody else's anointing. We talked about it can destroy you, it can kill you. Because the anointing makes people look like they're doing something and what they're doing is so easy, but it has nothing to do with them. It's the anointing on their life. And what happens is that we know how it is. Everybody wants to keep up with the Joneses. And so since they have that anointing, it looks good. Man, it looks amazing because the anointing draws people. Because it's supposed to draw people because when they get close to the anointing, then they should run into Jesus somewhere in that path. And what we realize is because somebody has an anointing, don't think because they have a business anointing. When they do business, it's so amazing, it's so easy. If that's not your anointing, you're going to get jacked up. Talking about, I'm going to go grab me $20,000 and start a business. No, you're about to go in debt and broke. That has nothing to do with you. Do not step in somebody else's anointing. And so we got to understand, we worked that a couple of weeks, that the anointing is specific. Then we also learned that the anointing, even though we want it, and even though we want to walk in our anointing, it comes with a cost. The anointing is, and I'm not going to look at the ingredients, but I put it up over the last few weeks. When we look at the anointing, it's built out of bitter moments, heartbreak, crying, tears, pain. That's part of the ingredients from the for the anointing that's on your life. And meaning this is that anytime you've had heartbreak in your life, God never caused it, but he used it to strengthen your anointing. I shared this with you that whenever you go through heartbreak or you go through pain, whatever you go through and you don't give up in it and you come out fighting that thing, you're now anointed to speak to that thing. Whatever you defeat in your life, you're now anointed to overthrow it in your life. That's why I tell every parent and every grandparent, listen, whatever you deal with, you need to defeat it, not just for you, but for your generation. Because if you're a parent and you have some type of struggle in your life, that struggle, if you defeat it and you break that thing, now you have the ability to speak to that thing. And when you see it in your bloodline, you say, listen, I got the anointing to break you and speak to you. And you can lay hands on your grandchildren and say, listen, I struggle with that, but I decree in the name of Jesus, I break it off your life. You have the anointing to speak to what you came out of. God, help me right now. That's why people who've been victim of things sometimes go back and minister in that area, because your misery becomes your ministry. Come on, your pain becomes your platform, because whatever you've been through, you're now anointed to deal with it. And so we've got to understand, that's why people amaze me. When people have drug issues and all these issues and pornography issues, people want to throw them away. God says, I'm looking for you. Come on, God. Because God, look, God, y'all ain't hearing me this morning. Because this is why the church throws people away who has issues. But what God says is, I need them in the church, because when they get through that thing, they can go out with the anointing to get other people who've been dealing with that thing. We want to get rid of people. God says, bring in the prostitute. Come on, somebody. Ain't nobody else want to go out and deal with her unless they're trying to pay her. Come on, somebody. But God says, I need somebody who came out of that thing that can speak to the prostitute. And every prostitute got a pimp. Come on. We need somebody who used to be a player to go out and get the player. Y'all ain't saying nothing. See, y'all get so dignified. But that's why I say, God, bring in the drug addict. Bring in the prostitute. Bring in the alcoholic. Bring in the weed head. Come on, bring in the coke head. Because when they get under this anointing, it'll break what's in their life. And when it breaks in their life, they can go back and break yokes in other people's lives. Don't you ever turn somebody away up in this church because they got an issue or a struggle. I'm praying to God to send them up in here so we can send them back out there to keep delivering people. Because their pain becomes their platform. And we sometimes forget, hey, you, before you look all sanctified up in here, you had issues. And truth be told, under that Bible and suit, you still got issues this morning. Up in here trying to be spiritual, and people come in, y'all like, y'all see that person? They look like, smell like, man, get up out of here before I ask heaven. Give me a word and blow you up. Because every person in here has issues in their life still. Your big issues may be over, or you know how to come to church around it. But the reality is God is still working on us so we can go work on some other people. Touch your neighbor and say, you ain't got it all together. That's why I like this church. We're real, babe. I can't stand a bougie church. I can't stand a church that act like everybody perfect up in the pews. We all got issues. And God says, the reason why I like you is because when it breaks, you got an anointing to go deal with that thing. And we've got to realize that your anointing is built sometimes out of bitter moments. Your pain, your issue, your struggle, God sees it. He knows it. And he says, when you come out of it, I'm going to use you to go back into it to get other people out of it. It's hard. That's why I said, man, don't sit under nobody who's never been through anything. If you ain't been through anything, don't ever try to teach me anything. If you ain't ever had some wrestling moments with God, don't try to speak into my life, because you don't know anything until you've been through something. I'm not wishing hard times on anybody, but the reality is, listen, compassion is built out of going through stuff. What I realize, people who don't have compassion are people who ain't been through anything. Because if you've been through stuff, you got compassion for people who are going through stuff. And so we realize it's built out of things we went through, and then we learned that when you go through it, God's going to give you a double. And then part three, we also talked about, understand if you put that up, we talked about the anointing. It creates favor to come your way. Last week we talked about how the anointing, it's almost like things begin to lean towards you. Favor is on your life. Things begin to happen that you just blows your mind. And you go places and people begin to do things and give you things. And you're like, what is going on? Why is this happening? It's because that anointing will cause God's favor to just lean towards you. Now, first, you're already a child of God, so you already got him working on your behalf. But when you get a specific anointing for like a groundbreaking anointing, you begin to walk in places, and it's almost like, why did that happen so easy? I don't know if you've ever experienced moments where it just seemed like it was just too easy. And I've seen it over and over this year where I went in and experienced some things, and I was like, that was way too easy. And God says, that's that groundbreaking anointing. You know, and I believe that when, that's why I said, man, and that's why on December 31st, that I still remember God, the Holy Spirit said, be careful what you say in this moment. Because he said, whatever comes out of your mouth, you're going to lock people in it. And what I remember telling you is this is the year where you're going to experience things in such an amazing way that it is going to blow your mind. You should be looking for things just to come. Everywhere you walk, you should be looking for somebody to bless you. Because God has to use people to bless you. I don't know if you realize that. He's not just dropping it out of the sky. He has got, when God, see, right now while you're sitting here, God's speaking to somebody that's going to come and do something from you later on in life. They're already looking for us. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. They are looking for somebody, and we're sitting right up in here, and when you get there, they're going to be like, here it is right there. Because that's what the anointing does. It causes favor to be on your life. It causes things to lean towards you. We saw that David began to go from the hood. He was in the back sheep with sheep. Come on, somebody. He went from the sheep one week, and he was at the king's palace the next week. And it's going to happen so fast, it's going to blow your mind. And then we talked about, matter of fact, let me share this. I've been sharing testimonies over and over. I talked about how the anointing favors you. And let me share this with you. I've been doing this every Sunday because it's groundbreaking. It just keeps coming. And make sure I got it here. This week sometime, somebody was telling me, they said, hey, this anointing thing is so genuine. It's hit me real. Things are just happening in my life. When I tell you God's favoring us, I've been talking almost every week about something different happening. Relationships coming back together. All the things God said, it's happening. Somebody say it's happening. So this week, somebody was telling me, they said, listen, Pastor, out of the blue, I got promoted to a director. Okay, stay with me. Stay with me. Before you get excited, hang on. They said, I got promoted to director, which is a significant financial boost. Yeah. And here's what you got to understand. Yeah, this stuff is so good. And in order to be in this position, remember I told you I can only tell you my story because it was my story, and I told you how I went into places, I got promoted, I didn't have a degree. Sometimes y'all just think pastors be making that stuff up. That's why I'm glad when it happens to other people, y'all be like, oh, that's for real. Because when the anointing's on your life, people can't help but bless you. Listen to this. So this person got promoted to director, and then what happened is, in order to have this position, you got to have a master's degree. And just so you know, they didn't have the master's degree. They didn't have the qualifications that was needed for that position. Now, what you got to understand, and this is what I've been telling you, God is not qualifying you for positions based on degrees. I've been saying that for weeks. He's qualifying it based on the anointing on your life. Because, listen, man may say, I need this, but when they sense the anointing on your life, they say, hey, listen, we can make stipulations. And that's the same thing I was telling you when God promoted me in corporate America. I had nothing they were even looking for. I was sitting in boardrooms with people who had degrees and all this stuff from different schools in Harvard. They were saying stuff I didn't even understand. Come on, somebody. And then the anointing came on, and I opened my mouth. I was like, that was good right there. Your boy didn't even know what he was saying. And this is what's happening with this person right here. They needed a master's degree, and they still gave it to them over people who probably had master's degree. But here's where I got to shout you down, is the person never asked for the position. They never asked for the position. Matter of fact, their boss on their behalf went and sought out the position for them. And this is what I'm talking about. People that you're not even looking for something, it just comes and finds you. Okay, y'all about to frustrate grace. And okay, y'all like, well, Pastor, you ain't saying no names. It's the man right behind the camera right here. He's destiny right there. He's been telling me, listen, he said, Pastor, I didn't even ask for it. My manager went and got this for me. I don't even know what happened. Because when you're anointed and you're walking in a groundbreaking anointing, it will find you. You ain't even got to find it. And I'm trying to tell somebody, this has happened weekly up in here where the favor of God is being released in people's lives. Slap your neighbor, say, I'm next. This is groundbreaking. He didn't have the degree. He didn't ask for the position. Somebody else said, I want this to happen for him. And that's because the anointing we've been preaching, he's walking with on his life. He's going back in places, and doors are opening. God, help me right here. I told you a few weeks ago, when the anointing's on your life, it's like when you go in the grocery stores. They don't even have door handles no more. You just walk, and that sensor sees you, and it opens. And that's what 2020 is for in our life. You don't need a door handle. When you walk, people just start throwing stuff at you. I cannot make this up. This is the anointing that is resting on every person in here. Somebody shout, I'm next. So he got this bonus, he got this raise, he got this pay increase, he got favor, he got influence. And we've been seeing this week after week. Somebody say, I'm next. And so we see, give me my points again, and the anointing changes relationships. Because how many of you know when you have the anointing, people around you, because anointing will begin to grow you. It'll grow you. And when you grow, people who were with you before you begin to grow won't always be able to hang with you anymore. Because when you have something special on you, you begin to carry yourself special. You don't allow anything in your ear. Because how many know, the anointing is allergic to negativity. It really is. And in a groundbreaking year, you're going to be trying to do things people ain't heard of. And they're going to be like, don't even waste your time. There ain't nobody going to be doing that. And see, the anointing is allergic to that foolishness. You can't have people in your sphere that can't understand what you're about to experience in your life. It will literally hold you down, and we don't even realize it. And we want to hang on to people we grew up with, friends and childhood friends and family that don't. See, your family don't even recognize your growth sometimes. Now, if you have people who support you, you stay with them. But if they don't support you, then, baby, you got to get going without them. You gotta have courageous moments where you break off relationships that can't identify with the anointing on your life. Leave my points up on the screen, please. And so we've got to understand that we saw this with David. The relationships may change. And you got to be okay with telling people you can't ride with me this year. It's sometimes, you know, we preach this every year, but you got to understand people around you are so connected to where you're going. It's because whatever's around you, God's got to take with you. And we have got to remember, whether we preach this every year, the people you are connected to have a say in where God takes you. It is so true. And I'm not talking about you can't love people, but the closest people to you, they better be ready to go with you where you got to go. And that's why God is going to bring some people around, and those people are going to be hungry to be around you because they see the anointing in your life. And when you jump, they say, I want to jump with you. When you go, I want to go with you. Because it's not you, it's the anointing in your life. And God will bring people to you that you're supposed to carry somewhere, but some people, they're not going to be willing to go with you. And you got to shift relationships and say, listen, my childhood friends, I may not roll with you, but trust me, God's going to put some other people in your life that's going to help you get where you're going and help them get where they're going. This is why I tell men in our men's ministry all the time, you need to connect with godly men. I don't care if you have a struggle, because men, God, I ain't even preached yet. I'm still in recap. We in trouble. I'm going to have to cut this thing down. Men have got to hear me this morning, because we seem to be by ourselves all the time. Most men don't have relationships unless it's with the drug dealer or with Pornhub. Oh, it's about to get real lip in here. I don't sugarcoat. Come on, y'all won't be like, what did he mean today? You're going to know exactly what I meant. I was confused on what the pastor, not up in here. You're going to know exactly what I said. And we isolate ourselves, and we go through struggles by ourselves, but we are trying to build a men's thing here where we get to the point where men can be around other men who can say, listen, we may not put it all out, but we realize, hey, we all got struggles up in here. And we all are trying to get to the top of the mountain and bring our families and our children. We're trying to see the yoke broken on our lives. And when we can get around other people who say, listen, we got this thing together, man. I'm not judging you. You're not judging me. Men have got to break out of that solitary confinement and build some godly relationships with other men and get to the pinnacle of where God is calling you. Everywhere in the Bible where you saw, God, watch what happens in the Bible. If you read it, you find men isolated by themselves all the time going through hell. When you saw Jesus, the only time Jesus was going through is when his disciples went to sleep and he was all by himself. He was literally on the ground wrestling with God going through. You saw the man in the tomb with nobody around him. He was in the tomb cutting himself, trying to commit suicide. Nobody was there for him. And this is the story of men. We're not surrounded by anybody. You got to realize you got to find another anointed man and say, listen, we got issues, but let's do this thing together. When I call you, you call me. Iron sharpens iron. Deep calls unto deep. I need to surround myself by people who have a like faith. Let me get where I got to get. And the other thing we did, we left off with God protects his anointed. God protects his anointed. We begin to talk about, that's why he says, touch not my anointed. Do my prophet no harm. When you're walking in your anointing, God's going to keep you because, listen, the reason why he keeps you is because he's got work for you to do. What I realize is when God allows people to go to heaven, it's because their work is finished sometimes. Sometimes. Sometimes people do go home too early based on other things. But the Bible, when you get to heaven, you hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. I know we say that, but why does God say that? Because your assignment is over. Well done. So the reason why you hear that is because your assignment is over and you no longer need the anointing in earth anymore. But as long as you have work to do, God's going to keep you. He protects his anointing. We saw that with Marva. I told you, Marva, we shared her testimony how she would stop breathing like 80 times an hour. And over the years, you wonder, how did God keep her? It's because she has work to do. Let me share this other testimony with you that somebody gave me, then I'm about to push. Labor, you may have to share this because there's a lady this year who, let me see if I can get it. No, I can't read this. Amen. Can you share this real quick, and explain quick? Watch how God keeps us this year. I'm a preacher in a minute. I'll preach for 20 minutes. Let's get these testimonies. Come on.
Amen. Praise God. Yesterday at our hike, I was hiking with a lady that works over in children's ministry. I didn't ask her if I could share this, so I won't say her name. But at the beginning of this year, she had a garage fire, an electrical garage fire. And I looked at her and I was like, how did none of us know about this? No one told us. How could we have helped you? But she said, you know, she said throughout the whole entire thing, she said, God really just orchestrated the whole entire day. Amen. So she has her garage. She has a lot of children, and most of them are teenagers. So they converted their garage into an area where they can go out and they can play video games, that kind of stuff, chairs. And it's like their little hangout pad that they made out in the garage. So that is where the fire started, electrical fire inside the garage. Well, one of her sons spends a lot of time out there, and sometimes he'll either might have an attitude or he may just be playing his video games and he'll fall asleep in the garage. So he'll fall asleep in the garage until maybe 2, 3 o'clock in the morning until somebody realizes it and comes back and gets him, says go to bed. So as the day began, God orchestrated this whole entire thing. One of her children came home sick from school, had a headache, slept for the majority of the day, right? So then the son fell asleep in the garage. One of her daughters came, got her son out of the garage, got her brother out of the garage. She never goes into the garage to get her brother, ever. They just leave him out there. She went, got him out of the garage about, I think she said maybe 10:30, 11 when she realized he was out there. Told him to come in, go to sleep. Mom fell asleep on the couch in the living room watching TV. Well, the son that was sick all day, he came into the kitchen, was hungry because he had been asleep all day, had a headache, was at home. Came into the kitchen and was starting to make himself something to eat when he realized he smelled something burning. And he was like, what is burning? So he woke up his mother and he said, hey, Mom, I just thought I burned some food. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. And at that moment in time, they realized, oh, my goodness, there's a fire out in the garage. Open the door to the garage. Full of smoke. So if you can see how God orchestrated that whole entire day? God kept that family from what could have been a devastating experience from them. None of them could have survived that fire. If the little boy would have been in there, he's such a hard sleeper, she said, that smoke probably wouldn't even have woke him up and he would have perished in that fire. If none of that would have happened, if the young man hadn't have been sick and stayed at home all day long, got was hungry at midnight, decided to get up and eat and realized that was going on, if that smoke would, that could have just taken that whole entire family out. But God orchestrated that day from the moment they woke up, from when that young man went to school and had a headache and needed to come home. Amen? Amen. Praise God.
Come on, somebody say, the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Come on, when God says get up, get up. When God says go, go. When God says I need you to wait, don't think it's an accident. The steps of the Lord, the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. God will keep, somebody say, God will keep you. Listen to this one. Let me give you this last one, and now I'm going to be finished with the day. Watch this. It says this. I like this right here. Dale Cooper was telling us about his throat biopsy. That the doctors told him it was cancer and all this stuff. It was abnormal. And then he went into the labs, and he had, I think he had to have surgery too. And they had to go in and do surgery, biopsies, and all this. And they were telling him it was going to be cancer and all that. But how many of you know when you're anointed, God takes what was there and changes it? Come on, somebody. He went in. All his labs work is perfect. Come on. They don't know what's going on. All they know is what was abnormal is now normal. Come on, somebody. That's because when you got work to do, I'm telling you, you may go through something because it rains on the just and the unjust alike, but God will keep his anointed. Somebody say God will keep his anointed. Okay, give me 15. Give me 15. I got to raise up. Let me get to today because that's where I recap. That's why we got to understand this anointing thing is so powerful. And week after week after week after week, I've been sharing different things that the anointing is doing in the midst of us. And what we've got to understand is why this is so important, because somebody say every one of us is anointed. And why I have to really get you to understand this is because I told you earlier, in this, God is not waiting all year to bless you. He's not waiting all year to restore families and relationships. We've been seeing that. What God wants to happen, he wants it to happen quickly in your life. And so if I don't prepare you with understanding this anointing that is on every person in here, you won't function in it correctly. That's why, and look at this, in Amos 9:13, give me that in the message. Watch what it says, and here's where we are in Amos 9 and 13, if you can quickly put it up. It says, yes, indeed, it won't be long now. God's decree, things are going to happen so fast. Come on, somebody, your head's going to swim. Oh, God, I'm just going to stop right there. Because this is what God is doing in this year. Come on. One moment he walks into his office, the next day they say, listen, we're promoting you to director. You weren't even looking for it. Things are going to happen so fast. God is getting ready to blow your mind. Somebody say, he's getting ready to blow my mind. I like it because he's literally taken, this is what God, give me Isaiah 65 and 24 real quick. Because why am I sharing this with you? It's because I need you to see what the Lord said he's doing. He says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Before you even ask, God said, here it is. Now, how many know it may have been in his heart, and before he even could have asked for anything, God says, I already answered your prayer. And watch what he says, and while they're still speaking, I will hear it. Meaning God's going to begin to do, when you have this anointing on your life, the transition and shift is going to be so fast, it is going to blow our minds. You have got to be prepared for the unexpected in your life to change. We talked about last week when Linda was telling us that her daughter out of the blue just called her and said, I want to reconnect. Things are going to happen so fast. Somebody say, it's going to happen quickly in my life. And it's going to happen quickly because God doesn't want you always to have a victory where you got to fight. He needs you to have some victories that got to be sweatless. Come on, somebody. Some victories you just got to happen and be like, man, I got that thing without fighting for that thing. And I believe that sometimes we got to fight for it, and other times God just going to give it to you, and it's going to be a sweatless victory. We don't always have to fight for stuff if we walk carefully under the anointing. And it causes so much to come through. God is moving fast. We saw this with David. He was just shifting. If you look through Scripture, once he was anointed, all the different things that were happening in his life. And you need to understand, you're on the fast track of the blessings this year. The favor of God is on our lives. One more time, say, it's on me. Because what happens is, you got to understand this, some of us are, and some of us still are anointed, but you have an old anointing. In Psalms 92:10, it talks about a fresh anointing. And throw it up on the screen. We might not shout a whole bunch from here, but I got to make sure you get this and we'll raise up. And we've got to understand, some of us, you still may be stuck in another anointing. But you gotta be Psalms 92:10, please. You have to be able to understand that you got to be able to shift even in your anointing. You got to be able to be ready for God to do a new thing in your life. I like what it says, but the horn you have exalted like wild oaks. But watch what he says. I've been anointed with fresh oil. And it stood out to me one day. God says, see, people are just so used to oil, but he says, I got a fresh oil. I got a fresh anointing. And that's what we're in. And see, we all, some of us like, yeah, I've been anointed. No, 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 this is something you ain't seen. I don't care what church, who you've been in, Bishop Jakes, I don't care who you've been under, but this is a fresh anointing that you ain't ever seen before. And you got to be ready for God to do something, because we all been in services where it's been anointed. We've seen people see God do things in your life before, but this is a fresh anointing, God was telling me. This is something new you ain't ever seen before. And if you sit back and you are ready for a stale anointing, I can't eat nothing stale. Come on, somebody. Stale bread, stale meat, I can't deal with nothing stale. That's why God says, give you this day your daily bread. He didn't say this last month's daily bread. Every day he says, I'll give you this day your daily bread. You got to be ready for a daily anointing. A fresh anointing, something you ain't ever seen before in your life. But church people been church so long, been to so many sermons and services, all that, you just sit back and just all that. But what I'm trying to tell you, this is something you ain't ever seen before. I don't care who you sat under, but God said, tell them to get out of their stale anointing and get ready for fresh oil to come on their life. And fresh oil means you got to do something you ain't ever done before. But if we just sit up here every Sunday looking at me go crazy and shouting to you and preaching to you and walk out there, come on somebody, and go back to your routine. If every man in here heard me say something and they don't shift their life after looking and examining their life, say, man, I don't have nobody around me. If you go back to a stale anointing, you got to shift. You got to find somebody before you get up out of here and say, hey, man, God put you on my spirit. Let's connect together. You got to do something new to walk in something new. Turn my mic up. I feel like preaching a little bit. Touch your neighbor and say, don't have a stale anointing. See what happens with people who have a stale anointing, they stuck in tradition. Tradition people. I'm stuck like this. We did church like that. We sat like that. We wore suits like that. We had to do it this time. They used to take the offering in the beginning. Man, get up out of here with that foolishness. God has never put an agenda in a church. You will never find in the Bible any type of church agenda. That was man. They did it. That's why the Baptist church used to put communion up in the front. God ain't never put communion up in the front of a church. Nothing wrong with it, but we got to get out of traditions. You got to get out of stuckness. Well, they came to church with a hat on. So what? The anointing works with a hat on. Come on, somebody. Don't nobody care about that stuff. Got to wear a suit when I was growing up. Why do you got to wear a suit when you go to church? It works in jeans, baby. God, I feel like preaching. You got to get out of your stale anointing, out of your traditional works, and you got to be ready for God to show up in anything. Slap your neighbor, say, you got a stale anointing, get out of it. If you ain't ready for groundbreaking, I want the church to grow. I ain't telling you to leave, but this ain't the place for you, Bubba, because we're just only March. We're just getting warmed up. Things are shifting up in here. Things are going to change. Things are about, the best is yet to come. And if you need us to be how we always were, it ain't going to stay that way. Because when we go to 2 services and 3 services and when we're on TV and when we're online, things have got to shift up in here. That's why we got too many people I'm so used to this, and where I came from, we did church like that. And Pastor, have you ever thought about going back? No, I have not thought about it. Maybe you need to go back to Chicago where you came from, back to New York where you came from. Why did you move if you want that stale anointing? It's for them. Come on, go back to Florida. I don't know where you came from, but baby, up in here, this is fresh oil from heaven, and we're not doing traditional things. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is. Too many people are locked in tradition and can't do church. I remember a lady, one of them stayed with us, and she's here today, but there's another lady some time ago told me, I've had this before, and people have stayed and all this stuff, but there's one specific lady came here, and she left, and she ain't never been back. She told me, she said, hey, you preach well. I said, oh, bless you. You know, that's God. You know, the anointing, all that. And she said, but I can't. You're too young. I said, is that right? I did. It was right out there. I said, is that right? And she said, I forgot. I think one of my arm bearers was right there. And she said, yeah, I'm just used to older pastors. I said, okay. I said, whatever God has for you is for you. I said, have I ever laid hands on you? She said, no. I said, okay. I said, was your loss, not mine? And I said it to her. And what I began to realize is she couldn't break tradition. She couldn't understand that God took somebody from a Moses and was trying to bring her under a Joshua. Stay with me. Because Moses did not take the people where they really needed to go. God said, I got to shift you from a Moses to a Joshua. And the Lord began to reveal to me, nothing wrong, God bless her, but God says, I brought this lady here so she can experience things she's never experienced in her life before, because she's always been under Moses. And God began to show me this very thing when I was walking back, that God would allow her to go places she ain't never went before, because Moses took people so far, but then he brought them into a Joshua who had a fresh anointing that took them into the promised land. And some people will miss out on what God has for them because they're stuck in a tradition. And we've got to realize you cannot stay with some stale oil. God's got a fresh oil for your life. And you got to say, this year has got to be fresh oil. Somebody say fresh oil. It will change your life. Okay, give me 10 more minutes. Sit down. Let me talk to you. We got to go. Because here it is right here. Here it is. Because this is what you got to understand. I'm telling you, the anointing, when you begin to walk and understand that every person in here is anointed, every person, and every person being anointed, when you're anointed, you begin to understand that thing is on your life. And when you walk in it and understand all the things we've been talking about, it is literally about to blow the walls off your ear. But what you've got to understand is this anointing that every person in here should desire. You don't have to be perfect all the time, but you got to understand it comes with a cost. The anointing comes with a cost. This is where I'm probably going to lose everybody. It'll be quiet for about 10 more minutes. And then you can get the bell rope, do what you do. The anointing comes with a cost. That whenever we learn that the anointing in Scripture, our opening Scripture was this, that God said to Saul, matter of fact, let's look at it real quick, because I'm not going to shout you. I'm going to teach you for 10 minutes, and we're going to go. In 1 Samuel 13, God had already anointed Saul. He says he had told him, he had already put, Saul was king. He said, you have not done, he says, you have kept the command of the Lord your God, which he commanded. For now the Lord would have, he said, God would have done something in your life, would have established a kingdom forever. We saw this in verse 14. And what we saw in verse 14, but now your kingdom shall not continue. God says, what was supposed, the anointing and what you, the work you were supposed to do, I'm taking that from you. You're not going to have the anointing to do it no more. And then God, we saw with David over in we put up 1 Samuel 16:13. We're going to walk through this. And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. So God took the anointing off Saul, and then he gave David, not a tailor-made, but because their gifts were similar, he gave David that now anointing to walk in his life. And what we need to catch and what we need to understand is that, and here's the part I need you to really realize, is that the anointing can come off your life. This is where I'm working right now. Saul was anointed, but he could not keep the anointing. It came with a cost. And what we have to understand, as great as it is, you have got to understand there's some key things to being successful in walking and maintaining the anointing. And that's really what we're talking about, is how do we maintain the anointing? Because if you want a strong anointing, it comes with a strong cost. And the first way that you have to maintain the anointing is you have to have a humble heart. Our first point put up there is you have to be humble. The anointing will lift off people who are arrogant and prideful. Got to hear me. Now, as much as we've been teaching on this for 3 weeks and how powerful this anointing is, we're seeing people blessed left and right. One thing you will understand is when you look at Scripture, that the anointing, the gift will always be there. The gift, the Bible says giftings and callings are without repentance. Everybody has a gift. We talked about this, I don't care, you have a gift for something special to do in the earth. The anointing gives you the ability to work your gift with power, with favor, and with influence. You don't want your gift to work if you don't have the anointing. Okay, two different things, the gift and the anointing. We work that. And God says, listen, I'm giving, he said, David, you have, Saul, you have the gift to be a king, But I gave you an anointing, so when you step in it, you'll have favor, doors will open, you will break yokes, it's just going to be easy to work your gift. But watch what happens. He lost humility, and God says, I'm pulling your anointing, although he kept his gift. And we see that this is where we as believers will sometimes miss the mark, is because we lose humility when we see God's favor of anointing on our life. Let me show you in 1 Samuel 15:17, he says to him, Samuel said, he's talking to Saul, he says, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not ahead of the tribes of Israel? Did not the Lord anoint you over Israel? He said, listen to it. He says, when you were little in your own eyes, did not God anoint you? He was literally saying, when you were small in your own eyes, when you were humble, when you looked at yourself and said, I'm nobody, meaning without God's anointing and without God's favor on my life. Not that I'm nobody and I should be depressed. Without God doing this for me, I'm nobody. Listen what he says. When you were little in your own eyes, didn't God do everything for you? Weren't you over Israel? Didn't God anoint you when you were little in your own eyes? But the reason God took it off his life is because he got big in his own eyes. Meaning he lost humility and he became full of pride. And God says pride and anointing cannot work together. And this is the reason why we see many people, because literally here's why I'm preaching this to you, is because when you get stuff like destiny got, and when you get stuff like other people who have gotten stuff, the thing is, when you have a lot, you got to make sure that you realize the reason why I have the influence, the power, the favor, and all the things happening for me, it's not because of me. You got to stay small in your own eyes and realize every day you wake up, it's not because of me, but the anointing and the favor of God on my life. This is why it's hard for certain people to manage a lot of stuff, because when you see a lot of stuff, you begin to see me in all the stuff. And what God is doing and is happening so fast in people's lives, I need to remind you, never get caught up in you in the stuff. You have always got to separate you from what you have and the influence you have, and you got to remember you have nothing to do with what you have. This is exactly why I love this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is why I always say this. Please don't underestimate. I want smart people in church. If you went to Harvard, if you went to wherever you went, Duke University, Stanford University, all them smart places. Come on. I want you to be here. Good thing you got a degree. That's hard work. I applaud you. But sometimes God will take people who didn't have anything, because when you get in a room full of people, you realize my degree didn't put me here. The anointing put me here. Because if you start looking, that's why sometimes favor is good, but sometimes God will bring you into a place and it will be, watch this, not because somebody you really know, it's just because you realize, I didn't even know that person. And you begin, watch this right here. When you have a lot of people close to you and connections, this is why he'll shift your relationships. Because you begin to depend on those relationships to get you places. So he give you new relationships with people who really don't know you. God help me. And when you sit there, you begin to realize because the favor of God has put me here. And too many times when God gives people stuff, they begin to become prideful in their heart and their spirit. And the only reason we see this tragic scripture is because, stay with me, is because he began to be big in his own eyes. Church, let me tell you, the greatest struggle with people is when you can't maintain humility. You have got to begin to understand that God has called every person in here to be humble. Things are going to come your way. Favor's going to fall at you. Things are going to fly at you. But when you get it, you got to remain you got to remain humble. Because the Bible says in Proverbs, watch what it says here. It talks about how the pride comes before the fall. Proverbs 16:18, it literally lets you know, and this is what happened to Saul. It says, pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. God is literally telling you, if you want to see yourself fall from the greatness of the anointing, get pride in your life. He said, pride comes before you fall. If you fit in the problem with pride, it doesn't announce to you that it's there. You don't wake up and be like, hey, you're prideful. Sometimes you don't even realize you could be walking on the edge of pride in your life. And this is why you have got to always, watch this, have godly people in your life who can speak into your life. Because anybody can see an arrogant somebody. Come on, except the somebody. Come on. And you got to have people who love you enough to say, hey, you kind of, you know, we need to draw back and realize it's God in your life. That's why some people who get a lot of stuff, they want what you call yes men and yes women, because they don't want anybody to maybe pull them to the side and say, I love you enough to tell you that how you just treated everybody was jacked up right there. And then, see, we want people to be like, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. No. You got to at least have some accountability in your life to tell you, look, boo, you out of line right there. Listen, man of God, you can't be doing that like that. If you don't have somebody spiritual enough over your life who can speak into your life. And this is the problem with church folk, is sometimes we forget God gave us everything. And we get caught up in the stuff. We have got to hear, watch this, John 2:5, real quick, John 2:5. We have got to understand, it says, his mother said to his servants, whatever he says to you, do it. See, why do I bring that out? Why did the Holy Spirit show us this? It's because humility means the anointing is for you to serve people. She said to his servants, whatever he says, you do it. Meaning you got to have a servant heart because it keeps you humble. See, a lot of times people misunderstand when you're preaching and teaching. Oh, boy, you're preaching and teaching. No, I'm serving. But God used me to feed his people. The labor that you didn't see before I stepped up here. The things that had to go on before I opened my mouth, it seems easy, but I am sitting here laboring to give you what you're getting today. I am serving. And people want to step up, and don't forget there's serving that goes on behind the anointing. And if you're not willing to get into a place where you see yourself served, then you probably have a prideful heart. And I don't say this talking about serve just in church. Part of that is, but if you are too big where you can't serve in God's house, something might be wrong. I'm talking to everybody. I'm not just talking to real life. If you are too big wherever you worship at to serve in God's house, oh, God, let me show you something right here, because I felt somebody online say something. I got you. I got an anointing for you, too. I felt it right online. Watch this. In Psalms 84:10, watch what it says. Psalms 84:10, throw that up for me if you can. So I'm not sure if I gave it to you. Psalms 84:10, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000. He says, I would rather be a greeter in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. He says, listen, a day in your house is better than 1,000 elsewhere. He said, just let me be a greeter in your house. Because the psalmist was saying, listen, I have a servant's heart. If you cannot serve people, that means you may have pride hanging out in your life. Because what happens is pride comes up. I'm too big for that. I don't have enough time for that. I'm the man. I'm the woman. I remember this Aeneas Williams, this NFL star, when I was growing up. He used to go to a church down in Phoenix, Azusa, or whatnot. And I remember young, this guy would be playing in the NFL, and he was ushering on Sunday in offseason. It used to blow my mind that somebody making millions would usher in the house of the Lord when he's in his offseason. And it used to blow my mind because he had a humbleness about himself, a humility about himself. Somebody making millions and on TV didn't come to the house of the Lord. Tell me, can you sit right here? Let me put a black cloth over you. That means he had humbleness in his heart. And when you cannot serve people, that means that you have something going on the inside that may be on the borderline of pride. And if you're going to walk in this groundbreaking anointing, you've got to have some humility inside of you. Watch this, because watch, here it is. Matthew 23:11. Matthew 23:11. Jesus actually showed us. But Jesus says, who is the greatest among you shall be your servant. I don't have time to take us there because I'm going to get you out of here. Is that we saw Jesus washing people's feet, his disciples' feet. Jesus from heaven, the hypostatic union, all God, all man, was washing his disciples' feet. Serving, showing us how to walk with an anointing. You have to have a humble heart that's able to serve other people. That's what humility is. If you're prideful, where everything, you're arrogant, that means you probably are struggling with arrogance and pride in your heart. And you got to check that quickly. Because the only thing it's going to do for you is cause that anointing not to be effective in your life. And the one thing about Saul was a groundbreaker. And see, and this is why God brought this out. He said, you got to understand, you have a groundbreaking year, and I need people to see I took a groundbreaking anointing off a groundbreaking man. Saul was the first king of Israel ever. There was no king over it. He was groundbreaking. That was a groundbreaking anointing that hit him. And because he had so much, pride got in his heart. And if you have a whole lot in this groundbreaking year, you got to humble yourself and say, if it had not been for the Lord. I know the saints say it. They say it all the time, but you better say it every day. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, this house wouldn't be mine. This promotion wouldn't be mine. This car wouldn't be mine. My bank account that's now overflowing wouldn't be mine. This health I have wouldn't be mine. The reconciliation, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. Where would you be without the anointing of God? Wake up every day with that humility. Number two, I got to get you. Number two, here's the second thing. Because when people get stuff, they lose their humility. Here's the other thing you got to understand. Not only humility, but you got to have obedience. Number two. Church, let me tell you something. Do not overlook the power of obedience. We remember in 1 Samuel 15. In 1 Samuel 15, give me 1 Samuel 15 real quick, 6. I don't have time. We got to get it. Go to the very end of the verse, verse 12. Read through it on your own time because I know you study your Bible when you get out of here, but go study on your own. Verse 12. go to verse 11, back up. Maybe I end up reading the whole thing. Go to verse 11 quickly. He says, watch, he says, this God says, I greatly regret that I have set you up, Saul, as king. God says, I regret I gave you an anointing. That's God talking. He says, when I put that anointing on you, I regret it now. That's probably the most tragic story in the entire Bible. Where God gave somebody something and God himself sat back, said, you were groundbreaking. I've never had a king in the land. And he says, I regret I did it. He says, because you had pride in your heart, I regret the anointing. And not only pride, but we saw this a few weeks. Here's the other thing Saul messed up. He says, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. Watch what happens. Not only was he prideful, but then, because when you start getting prideful, you start not doing what God tells you to do. If you read 6 leading up, he had a commandment to do something. And he said, I ain't going to do it. God said, destroy everything. Saul said, no, I'm going to keep some of it. I'm not going to destroy it. I'll keep the part I want, and then I'm going to get rid of the part that God told me to, but I'm going to keep this one right here. God literally said, he says, I regret I anointed you because you were disobedient intentionally over and over. Stay with me. We'll get to God's grace in a minute, but hang with me. And then he says here, and watch, look how bad it was. It grieved the prophet. The man of God who had the, he came, he cried all night about this. It bothered him so much because, church, when you get prideful and you stop leaning on God, you will intentionally become disobedient to the things of God. I'm teaching right now. And we've got to understand that we have got to, and we as a believer, you have got to try to walk in the obedience and the statutes of God. Meaning you've got to humble yourselves under the word of God. Meaning, see, a lot of times when we know the word of God, we put it over our life as a standard. And when the word of God says do something, sometimes we choose not to do it. That means now you become arrogant to do it your way instead of God's way. Stay with me. And sometimes that's our struggle, but we've got to realize when you are direct living every day in disobedience, it can almost cause that anointing to come, that anointing to lift from your life. Because when you begin to follow after whatever God tells you to do, listen, it'll change your life. Listen, I know our flesh struggles. I know our soul and we struggle with things to follow after. That's what our challenge as believers is, to follow after God. Because how many know our flesh gets in our way sometimes? Come on, your boy will testify. Come on. I know I ain't supposed to knock nobody out, but I feel like knocking people out sometimes. I'm fiery sometimes. Come on, some people know. There's times I'll be like, man, listen, I'm saying that, Brian, let me stay safe. Come on, somebody say, God's working on him. God's working on him. I'm just trying not to be on the news. They'd be like, is that my pastor on the news? Oh, my gosh. I was going to bring some guests this Sunday. They probably in there with me. Amen. No, I'm just saying. I'll just play. But God's working on me, amen, because sometimes in the world I run out of patience with people, but amen, come on somebody. But the thing is, we try to be in obedience to God, because where there's obedience, there's breakthrough. Hear me. Because our struggle is no, you know, Paul said, the thing I want to do, I don't do, and the thing I don't want to do, I do. There's a struggle that happens. But if we can stay with the obedience, it causes a release to be greater. And we see this right here. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. Oh, I love this. Acts 12 and 7. Real quick, I need you to catch this. Acts 12 and 7. Just about done. Acts 12 and 7. We see that when Peter was in jail in Acts 12 and 7, Peter, when he was in jail, the Bible says that he was chained up. And when he was chained up in Acts 12 and 7, he was chained up. Watch this right here. Now, behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. I remember seeing this years ago. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off. Now listen to what he said. He gave him a commandment. I don't know if you see it. He woke him up, because that brother was sleeping like Elder Ellis. Come on, somebody. He was in a deep sleep. He's in one of them deep sleeps. And he woke him up and said, hey, he had to shake a brother. And he struck Peter on the side, told him, brother, get up. And watch what he says. He says, get up quickly. And his chains fell off. Okay, yeah. Okay, I know it's 1st of March. It might be a little slow still. He said, get up. And his chains fell off. I remember I was speaking somewhere a long time ago, and I preached this. Because I thought to myself, he's chained. How do you get up if you're chained? But the Bible says that his chains fell off when he got up. Most people would have said, I can't get up. I'm chained. But when he obeyed the word, the chains fell off. Y'all missed it. Some people tell God, I can't do what you're asking me to do yet. I don't have everything in order. God help me. But God says, when you move, then it's going to happen for you. He couldn't wait. I can't go until you do this. He said, I didn't ask you that. Just obey. Get up. And when you get up, then things fall off. When you obey, then the doors open. Quit telling God, I can't do it right now, God. God, I can't tithe right now. I got this to pay. If you just tithe, you'll have as much as you want to pay. But I need you to obey first and watch what happens. When you obey, then things begin to happen. Because if you look at it, you ask yourself, how the brother going to get up? Most of them would have gave God an excuse. I can't get up because I'm chained. God is saying, I'm not asking you for excuses. If you obey, then the chains fall off. If you obey, then the anointing is going to be stronger. If you obey, quit telling me what cannot happen. Quit telling me why you can't do it. Just do what God tells you to do, and things will come your way. See, there are some people who have certain anointing, and God's going to say, I need you to do this. And the first thing you're going to say is, God, I can't do it because of this. Then your anointing is going to shift. And when God tells you to do something, you cannot wait to say, God, I need this. He said, I told you to do that. I'm God. I knew you didn't have that already. He knew he was chained, but he said, I need you to get up. And he says, and when he did it, the chains fell off. He had an out right there to say, I can't do it. Get the chains off me. He says, I didn't ask you for anybody to help you with chains. I just need you to get up. He's letting us know whenever God tells you to do something, quit looking for a handout and somebody to always help you. Because with God giving you a word, just go do it and watch God move on your behalf. Because when you obey, it increases the oil on your life and your anointing becomes stronger. This is why great men and God of women, they just step out on faith and say, we're doing it with no money in the bank account, no understanding how it's going to happen. Let's just get it done because God said it. And when you step out, God begins to just make stuff happen. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but heaven is telling you to do something and you need to obey the word of the Lord. And when you obey, it's just going to begin to happen for you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Watch this. I'm almost done. Here's Luke. Go to Luke real quick. Luke, I got to show you this. Because here's what God began to show. Luke 5:3 through 5, real quick. Luke 5:3 through 5. Because we all know this story. We're familiar, but we got to see it again. Then he got into the boat, one of the boats, which was Simon's. God used this man's boat. I could preach that. And asked him to put out a little bit from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. Verse 4. And he says here, when he stopped speaking, So Jesus was in somebody's boat. Hey, let me borrow your car. Come here. You know how somebody just take your car and be like, and he just took his boat. He's like, brother, can I borrow your boat? And he just went out into the water. And he started preaching because the people were so much, he had to preach from the water while they were on the side. So he's out there preaching. And when he stopped speaking, watch what he said to Simon. Launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. Verse 5 is the key verse. But Simon Ezra said to him, Master, we've done this all night, and I caught nothing. Right there, he was saying, I don't want to do this. He's like, listen, okay, I'll let you use my boat is one thing. That's one thing, brother. You just got up in my boat and stuff. And he says, now you're telling me to go ahead and cast my nets. He said, I've been out here fishing all night. See, people forget he was fishing all night. He was ready to go home, but he gave Jesus his boat. We missed that sermon. But he says, listen, I don't want to do this again. It takes a lot of work to put those nets back out. He says, so right there's a struggle in verse 5. It was literally him saying, I don't want to do it because God gave him a commandment. He said, cast your net out again. Fishermen, throw it out. That's where they catch fish. He said, I'm a fisherman. I've done this all night. I'm ready to go home. And he says, nevertheless, at your word, I will do it. And we know the story. When he does it, he catches so much fish, his net breaks. But before the nets break, he had to obey. There's a struggle in verse 5, and that's us right there. When we know to do something, the reason why you're challenged with the obedience is because God has a breakthrough on the other side of it. And you got to understand, some of us are right there in verse 5 where there's a struggle. And what you've got to understand is that the reason why you're struggling is because God has a breakthrough for you. And we've got to understand that if you just obey his word, I believe your nets are going to overflow. I believe your nets are about to just be like it's never been before. I believe that this is the year of net breaking for every child of God in here. And I'm not just saying that. That's what this year is about to be. He had a groundbreaking moment where he caught more fish than he ever caught in his entire life. He was sitting there ready to have a stale anointing, talking about I did this. But God said, if you obey my word, I'll blow your mind. I'll break your nets. You'll get what you've never had before. And we got to realize that's what God has for us this year. Somebody say, this year. He has that sitting there for each and every one of us. But here's what I like the most. I ask myself, God, why did you even tell him to throw out his nets? Here's what he said. He said, because he let me use his boat. I said, why didn't you just finish preaching and roll on? He says, because he gave to me, I got to give back to him. He gave me a boat. I gave him pressed down, shaken together, and runneth over. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. He said, listen, I just said, can I get your boat? How many know that brother been fishing all night? Like, brother, you ain't about to go preach a sermon up in here. I got to go. I can't be doing all this. And he said, because you got to ask yourself, why did you do that? It's because God just finished using what he gave him. And that's a simple picture of tithe and offering that many of us be like, God, I can't give you my boat. Somebody else going to give you that boat. But when you give it to God, he'll give it back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and run it over. Touch your neighbor, say, just obey the word. I'm telling you, it'll change your life when you obey the word of God. Last one right here is love. The last one is love, and we're going. If you have no love, it'll jack your anointing. If you, God, it's 12 o'clock. Watch this right here. I got to finish this. If you don't have love, the one thing that bothers me about Christian people, all these, the humble part, I don't really struggle with the obedience because I know if you're struggling with something, God's going to fix it for you. You're going to get through it because you used to in struggle. Come on, somebody. But when you don't have love under the anointing, you can't even have the anointing if you don't have love in your heart.